traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Alexander Volkanovsky.
Yeah.
Do you think if a chimp started coming after you, could you take it one-on-one?
I'm up for any challenge.
I used to be 97 kilograms. What's that, 214
pounds?
I
wanted to ask about this.
I was just a bull. Like,
is everything in Australia trying to kill you?
A lot of things that will you up.
Sharks, sure. Women.
Yeah, watch out for them too. Yeah.
When Brian Ortega was choking you.
Obviously, tapping was just never an option.
Is that true?
Yeah, never an option. His arms are going to gas out or I'd die. Like, literally, that's a...
You're my homie. I expect you to get it.
Hey.
Actually, I don't know where those fingers have been.
Hey.
Actually, I don't know where that idea has been.
Come on, open up.
I don't know
open
where that High Regency Club room card has been.
It's right. That's the tooth.
You got it?
No, but that is the tooth.
Because I can't go a whole podcast with that in
it. It is very small. Like, I mean, bro, it's like almost non-existent.
Oh, man. Oh, no. This is like we need some floss to...
No, but it's so small, bro. Like, yeah, you're not.
Is there anything worse? Thanks for being a homie and telling me.
Yeah, I wish.
But if you were a real homie, you'd get it.
I wish we were on the show. Is there any chance we?
Are we on the show?
No, I don't think so. It's all rolling. Oh,
for how long?
I could have. Like, I was about to say some sus.
So they got everything just now.
Wait, do they have the part before?
They got a minute.
No, not when I grabbed his.
The part where he. Never mind. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you. It's just not. It's not actually. And I can't keep saying it with my whole heart.
What's the metric? What's the metric for success?
That's where we always come back to.
Holy shit. We just had in the past couple months, Kevin Hart, Ice Cube, fucking Izzy. Like, what's the metric for success?
David Blaine.
Blaine.
Yeah. Okay. We're the number one podcast in the world.
Like what, bro?
Fuck off.
What do you want? Well, who do you want?
Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We got a slew of amazing guests, as usual. These ones have housed themselves in Puerto Rico. And we had Israel Adesanya on the podcast, one of the best fighters in the world. And we'll bring up the next best fighter in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the current UFC featherweight champion. He's one of the toughest guys, if not the toughest guy in the sport. I've been a fan of him for a very long time. He's one of the first two official prime athletes. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Alexander the Great Volkanovsky.
Yeah.
I always mess it up at the end. Do you notice that? What up, gangster? How are you, bro? How are you? So the headphones are optional.
It's a good option.
No?
It's a good option. I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah.
Because then you could hear every little fucking weird thing that goes on in the back of his throat. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's definitely loud.
Yeah, if it's too loud, right. Fuck
Sorry,
it.
Will you rather him on?
No. We don't give a shit. Okay, we don't give a shit. Just make sure the mic is somewhat. Yeah.
I'll blow your ears off. I'm loud.
Good.
It's European in me, you know?
You cannot be louder than Michael.
It's impossible. Okay, it's impossible.
Hey, do you want your belt back?
Nah, go for it. It looks good on you.
I just realized, I'm like, why am I holding this? Dude, thanks for coming to Puerto Rico.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I can't believe you did that. You guys had such a long travel, like 35 hours of just flight to flight. And you have a fight coming up in July 8th.
July 8th, yes.
Defending your title.
Defending the belt, yeah. So going back, obviously, down to featherweight and... because we had Yair Rodriguez had him fight obviously for the interim belt, and then now show him that I'm obviously the real champ.
Yeah, and I just learned that you get a new ruby every time you defend your title.
Yep, there's a few on there. We need a few more,
bro. I can't believe you've done it five times.
It's like the Infinity Stones.
Yeah,
it is. Hey, get them vibes.
These belts are so heavy, and every time. I hold one. I want one. And I'll never get one ever. I just feel like, I don't know. You're the best in the world at what you do. I got to experience it this morning.
It was good. Good little session we got in, didn't we?
You are so strong.
For a little fella, eh?
Dog. It's like I knew it. I knew it going into it. I've even said it.
Beautiful.
On this very podcast.
That's one?
Yeah, that's good. I've said it before. I was like, before I even knew you. And one of the first fights that I saw of you that impressed me, I had the feeling, the instinct to speak on it because I could tell how fiery you were. I think it was actually the first time you like popped on the scene for
okay,
me.
Yeah.
I'm usually a little late on the bandwagon, mm-hmm. but man, you are so strong and like dominant, and you put me in a body lock. And I felt like you could have tightened your legs so much and literally split me in half. I'm not doing BJJ again, bro. Take your
could you back. Could you have done that? Could you have split him in half with your?
Well, that was you talking about the body lock we got?
Body triangle. We were drilling this body triangle. It's where you have someone in your legs and you hold them like this. And he goes, yeah, no, my legs are short. I don't really do the body triangle often. Then when we actually go to do it, he literally almost kills me with the body triangle.
But that's it. Like when I do get on, as I said, when I do get on, same as even with the triangle, if I get these little legs, they're harder to do things. But when they lock up good.
Yeah, because I have a skinny waist.
Yeah, so we're wrapped around it pretty easy. Like I mean, like when I didn't realize, obviously I knew that you were going to be tall. I knew that you were obviously big. But then when we were wrestling, we're standing up, I was like, oh, shit. No, he's big,
but it doesn't matter. Jiu-jitsu is like a whole nother beast. That's like I was telling Izzy, that's the one discipline I just, you don't want to fight a guy in the street who knows jiu-jitsu. You don't want to fight a guy in the street who knows jiu-jitsu, knows how to kick and knows how to strike like you do.
So that's it. Once you shape up, you're in there, you want to go, and they just drop to their ass and do their butt scoot towards you. Like, get the fuck out of here. You ain't going anywhere near you. Cauliflower ears and shoes. Fuck off.
That's like the telltale sign. If you're about to get in a street fight with a dude with cauliflower
ears, don't do it.
It was funny when we were in Thailand. We're at PP Island, and they got that, you know, they got that pub where you can fight. They get guys in the ring, just reggae piss bar. The reggae bar. There's piss heads. Yeah.
Just show up and fight.
Yeah, you can go there. They just get some of the piss heads drinking, and then they'll just fight, make them fight.
Do you have to sign like a waiver? Or something, or
I don't even think that. That's not me. It's anything goes over there. So you end up they're coming around again. People, they come up to me and they're like, "Oh, you?" And they look at my ear and they're like, "Nah, you're not allowed in there." You know what I mean? So it's obviously a good sign.
No, for real. And you've always been a tough guy. That's the one thing. When I watch you fight, I notice how tough you are. When you escaped Ortega's choke, Brian Ortega was choking you. He said he heard you gurgling. Mm-hmm. Was the word he used? And then you went, you came back, and you won that fight. I knew in my head that this dude was going to be a force to be reckoned with for a while. Have you always been tough? I know you did rugby before MMA, but how?
Yeah, man. Like, I think I've always been like a pretty resilient dude, durable. You know, yeah. Obviously strong. Obviously, my techniques are up there now as well. Like, so I've got very well rounded. My striking's right up there. But I've always been gritty, hardworking, sort of. Guy, that was a good example of it. So that's where a lot of people, that's because a lot of people are like, you know, what made you the champ? What made you like who you are today? I'm like, I just point at that pretty much and be like, that's the guy. You know, that's the guy that turns up in the gym every time. Like, just never give up attitude and, you know, problem solving is like, fuck, just do what you got to do to get out of fucking this, you know, and I won't look for any other option other than, you know, do something fucking about it. You know, that's just how I've always been in that mentality, and that's who shows up in the gym every day too.
But why? Why? Was it your papa? Was it your mom?
It's funny because as you go through your career and the more I learn about the sport and, you know, everything, I've just, you know, from a small town, didn't know too much. You learn more about life. You learn more about yourself. And like, I'm still trying to figure it all out, right? But I think it's everything. You know, the way I was brought up, you know, me and my brother always, you know, punching on. Not punching on, but, you know, doing your WWE, smashing each other. And all the life experiences, everything has sort of molded me in that. Maybe it was in the blood as well, you know. You never know. But it's definitely something that's always been there, even when I played rugby league.
That's what I was going to ask you about. How much does – in America, like, we don't even fucking know rugby. Like some people know what it is, but it's not, like, a dominant sport here. And I know you sick –
it's big
mad,
over there.
Yeah. You mad?
Yeah.
Good. Like, fucking. You play a.
Are you talking about? Are you talking about on the field or off the field?
No, I just mean like you guys play a shit ton of rugby. It's a huge fucking game down there. Do you think that rugby background like also influenced your desire to?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I mean by life experience. Like, through sport. You know what I mean? My brother just beating each other. All that. But definitely. Even the position I played. I used to be 97 kilograms. What's that? 214 pounds.
I wanted to ask about this.
214 pounds. So I was you know, NFL, you got the blockers, right? Like, they're big. You know, I was pretty much playing that type of position where usually the guys are, you know, twice the size of fucking me.
That's heavier than me.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I used to be, yeah.
That's my weight.
I was just a fucking ball. Like literally just a ball.
Is that the toughest sport in terms of like actual, the toughest team sport in terms of actual like aggressiveness and violence?
I mean, like it's, I guess all contact sports going to be pretty brutal, but it's definitely up there. You know, obviously NFL and all that, that's still going to be pretty brutal, but you know, you don't get
packs.
Like, it's just, you know, but it's always going, like it doesn't, you don't get like certain plays. It's just nonstop, you know, action and just running into brick walls pretty much. So it's pretty, pretty physical. I even do a bit of the wrestling with the guys and we bring them in. And sometimes I watch the training session. I'm like, fuck, I'm glad I'm not doing that shit anymore as well. But you know, it's funny. I'll say that, yet I kill myself in the gym when I'm training myself as well. But yeah, it's definitely a pretty physical sport.
How are you still working as hard as you should be in a training camp while doing all this traveling? Like, I mean, bro, 35 hours of travel, multiple airport stops, your team lost their bags here. Like, I'm confused how you're able to do this at full capacity.
Yeah, man. Like, we'll just do what we got to do. Like, I made sure that I got a couple of really hard sessions before I come here. Obviously, we got the session in today. I'll make sure I get a solid one in tomorrow. And then, yeah, we'll make it work. So I've just, because you're right, back in the day, probably a couple of years ago, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd be thinking, oh, you know, everything needs to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you think everyone's looking for that perfect camp.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a load of fucking shit. You're never going to get a perfect camp, right? Like, it's always injuries, something going on. And you learn more about that, get more confidence and knowing that you can still do stuff. You know, obviously, you want to use with not being successful. Sometimes you need to, you know, you need to stay busy. You need to do what you need to do. But yeah, we made sure we had time for it. And obviously, you guys, we wanted to come meet you and catch up. And you've been great. Game of this fucking thing.
Let's
too.
Go,
how
baby.
About that, dude, man? Look
dude,
at that.
I
see that?
I can't believe it. I cannot fucking believe it. Hell. We've been a fan of you guys for so long, and Prime has been making, you know, some notable waves, but we have always been looking to get into the athlete space and have been very, very particular with who we wanted to stamp. Floated a lot of names by us. And when we found out that you guys were equally as interested in us as we were in you, it was 100% green light for me. And the fact that you guys are here and we got to train with you and that now you're, again, the official Prime athlete. Like, come on, bro. I've been talking about you guys forever. You and Izzy.
Yeah, good, huh?
you guys train together regularly? Like, you guys are basically same team? Oh, same man. Manager?
Well, like, it's different gyms, but like affiliate gyms. There. So I'm okay. In Australia. He's in New Zealand. But I used to train there a heap at City Kickboxing. We obviously still cross training, I still go there here and there as well. And I've been training with him back in Thailand. I was training with him, would have been ages ago as well. So we've been training with each other for a very long time. But we're obviously close as well. So
does it shock you when guys like Chris Hemsworth, you know, a hero, especially in your country, and a hero in Marvel movies, comes up to you at the airport, takes a photo with you guys and like hard posts it on his Instagram?
Yeah, man, it is unreal. It was funny because I went and watched, I think it was Izzy and it must have been Anderson Silva. He was there and he was watching. Mm. So I ended up jumping in a van and this was, I think, before I even got the belt. And he's walking past and then I'm like, oh, look, how good's that? And he sees me, comes in, goes, oh, I was hoping you'd be on the card. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I was just blown away. But he's a big fan of UFC. So, you know, I've caught up with him a couple of times. And he's always takes the time to say hello and that. So he's a solid dude.
He seems like it. And he seems like a tough guy as well. Seems like a guy who could be doing UFC if he wasn't so goddamn good looking and good at acting.
Yeah.
But it's got to be cool to receive recognition from, you know, your peers who are the most successful in the world at what they do. When did you realize that this was, oh, I'm a tough guy and I'm kind of good at this, to holy shit, I'm like one of the best in the world and people are recognizing that?
Man, it's I think after the Chad Mendes fight was really when we're, you know, because he's fought the best, mm-hmm. You know, and he was up there and obviously that was the biggest challenge to date. And I was like, and once I, you know, took him out in the second round, I think it was, I was like, all right, this is this is good. Even Joe was like going, fuck, we've done something here. This is Chad Mendes. It was funny. It was after that, he ended up messaging me and I was like, oh no, fucking, I was like, fanboy, I just beat him. And I'm like, fucking fanboy. And I'm like, oh, fucking Chad Mendes is fucking messaging me. So, he was probably then. That's when I started in the gym, I've always been confident, knew I had it, but that was probably a bit of an eye-opener for me and for the world as well,
yeah.
I think.
Usually there's a moment for people where they're like, yeah. I think I'm onto something.
We are proud to introduce a brand new partner to the show, one my girlfriend and my mom might be happy about. We're talking jewelry. Blue Nile. I love shopping online. Is there anything you can't buy? You can find just about everything and buy it more easily and conveniently than ever. And you might think that's not the case when it comes to something as personal as your engagement ring. But yes, with Blue Nile, it's true. With Blue Nile's build your own engagement ring option with overnight shipping, it will have you wondering why you ever thought that. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler. Since 1999, they've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. And not just engagement rings, they have it all. With Blue Nile, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. They are committed to using the highest ethical standards when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also offers a diamond price guarantee, which means that in most cases, they can meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. When you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile. You get guaranteed service and repair for life. And in most cases, Blue Nile can deliver overnight. Your ring and your secret are safe. Every Blue Nile order is insured and arrives in packaging that won't give away what's inside. And if your purchase isn't perfect, there's no problem. Blue Nile offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee with guaranteed free shipping and return. So if you're thinking about getting a gift for that special someone or even treating yourself, use Blue Nile. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with the code Logan at BlueNile.com. Dang, $50 off with code Logan at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com. Shout out Blue Nile. Back to the show.
Back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To this thing, I was just playing ping pong out the back there. And like obviously getting into it because I'm fucking competitive at everything I fucking do. So we go on there and jumping around. This thing comes around. Like it's solid. Comes around and gets me. Boom. Right in there. Like, drew blood and everything. It's a solid piece of.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing. I'm just saying that's solid, yeah?
Well, that's
good. That's good. Yeah? It split me, mate. It split me.
Hold on a second. Yeah. The prime chain made you bleed?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's
not my intention. Jesus.
That's pulled out from July 8th from
it's Prime's fault.
Lacerations to his face.
I wish I could come to the fight, man. The last fight
284.
That we were at, mm-hmm. Perth, was your fight.
Yep.
Came to Australia to announce
that. That was the last UFC event you were at.
Yep. No, it's not true. We were at 287.
I lied. Okay. Just now. Now I lied. It's what I did.
But yeah, we were at 284 for the Islam fight.
How do you remember these numbers, dude? Scrolling through
Listen,
Wikipedia.
Man, I do this, okay? Yeah, we were at that fight. And I think along with everybody else, we were a little bummed about the decision.
It was horseshit, yeah. Bulk. It was horseshit.
I'm hearing you. Like, it's... The whole thing, right? Me moving up, you know, challenging myself, wanted to, you know, have my moment in Australia. I haven't been in Australia, fought in Australia for how long? Haven't defended the belt, haven't been able to do that. And then, you know, have a fight like that and then finish like I did and then think like, we're going to have this fucking moment, right? Like, yeah. Let's do it. You know, I was ready for it and it just taken away from me. So I was pretty fucking disappointed with that as everyone else was there, as I'm sure you would have heard.
We were. We were.
Yeah.
No, we're not even. Yeah, well, we're
seen,
not from
seen,
there.
Yeah, seen the videos of you getting into it as well.
I was upset for a while. Mm-hmm. I have a really serious problem with judging in combat sports.
Do you have like a personal experience or like a personal vendetta with judging problems? Or
I have vendettas with the refs. But that's a personal. Forget about all that. All right. Nah, fuck you, Jack Reese. Shout out Jack Reese. Jack Reese, shout out to you because without you, we would not have Prime, and without Prime, we wouldn't have Alexander Volkanovsky. So, Isn't it just? It's shocking to me how judges can subjectively decide who wins a fight on criteria that not really is understood.
Yeah.
Like why in that fight? Because you outstruck him. You outlanded him.
In a massive way. Massive.
Did he come out victorious? Because even the takedowns, because he did have more control on the ground, but he didn't do anything with them. There was no damage done. So what's why?
Well, that's it, right? Yeah. It goes by damage. And he obviously got takedowns, but he wasn't really doing much with it. So that's why a lot of people were pretty mad. But going by the scoring criteria, they still believed, I won anyway. It's that 10 must system, right? Like that boxing.
Yeah.
Which, say the second round was a close round, like some people give it him, some people give it to me. Yeah. But then you've got that, the fifth round I drop him. I end up just punching him through the canvas for the last fucking minute. And that's...
Scored the same.
Yeah, that's he's the second round that people thought I won anyway was, was worth just as much as my last round. So it's just it's a tricky one to go off because you get some that are really significant rounds for someone and then one that was, 50-50, we don't know, and then all of a sudden someone's winning because they had a couple of rounds like that where this guy kicked his ass for the other few as well. So it's I don't know.
It's outdated. I think it needs to be overhauled. I think after this Haney... experience.
That pissed me off too, dude. Haney did not win the fight. And I like Devin Haney, but he just did not win the fight and everyone knows it.
It comes down to that as well. Like obviously in boxing, you've got a lot more rounds, so you might not see it as much.
As effective.
But that was a good case where there were so many 50-50 rounds or very close rounds. And then there was more significant rounds for Loma, which makes you believe, Loma definitely won, right? Like then you've got to go to these, and then 50-50s, were they just giving it to Haney? Like, you don't know.
And then the other factors come into play is what's influencing these judges? Like, and we don't have to get into that, but it's just, it feels like a really outdated system that needs overhaul, especially for sports that are so in the zeitgeist and haven't had any kind of real change. And they seem like they could be malleable. Like, it seems like there could be some sort of change affected.
Yeah. I think something needs to happen. Obviously, it's people are always talking about it. They always want to. They think everyone thinks they got the right idea for it. They got the answer, but it'll be hard to find the exact answer. You're going to bring in something that might work here and then might not work somewhere else. Yeah. It's going to be tricky. But I mean, I feel like judging overall has to. You know what I mean? If you're going to go to these rounds and be like, oh, I don't know, well, I'll just give it to him. And then you're like, fuck, they can really mess things up. But going overall, everyone knows if that fight goes overall, like how they used to do it in other organizations or, other sports maybe, but clearly you would give it to me. And everyone would be like, oh, Alex definitely won that fight. But I mean, going by the scoring criteria was a bit closer, but we still think it went anyway.
It is tricky. I feel like being a judge in general is probably a pretty tricky job, especially when there are close fights and having that much pressure to judge it correctly. Because at the end of the day, you're a human watching a fight real time and your even position around the ring is going to change your perspective on what you're seeing. And I imagine... going through that loss, having the pun intended seatbelt of still being a champion in another weight class was nice. But did you find that it was demotivating at all? Like, was the disappointment strike you in a way that you hadn't felt before?
I don't know. Losing sucks. You know what I mean? Even though everyone was, my stocks, wouldn't have declined from that. Obviously everyone still, thought I won and everyone was like congratulating me. Which was, I was like sitting there going, I fucking lost. What do you mean? Like, you can't, they're going, but that's bullshit. You wonder it. So it was tricky, but it did make it easier. The fact that it was so close, everyone thought, and when I still had the pound for pound spot, and we're probably going to do the rematch anyway. So that's what, that makes it easy for me. It just adds to the story. We move on, you've got to move forward, right? And just not play on. Obviously, it sucks, but I'll get the rematch, I'll win. And then we'll make a bigger fight and a bigger ending to that story anyway.
You DM'd me. We were DMing, and one of the messages you sent was something like, at the end of the year, I want to have both the championship belts on my shoulder with the prime in my hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I see the vision, bro.
Two belts, two primes.
So sick. So sick, man. You have something very special. And like I said, we are so excited to have you on the team. Are you ever scared? Because even Islam, man, that's a demon.
And you know,
not scared of a, will never be scared of a person. It's just maybe scared of losing. Maybe scared of, you know, like, and he might catch me and all that. Not scared of actually getting hit or anything like that. What, fuck, you don't feel like I'm all good with that. But the factor of losing is always going to play in your mind. It's always going to be something that you got there. It's like, all right, make sure, you know, we take these fucking opportunities away from him. But, but at the same time, I love the challenge as well. So these are guys that are bigger threats and the bigger threat of me losing as well. I'm going to be confident, but at the same time, that the challenge excites me, and yeah, that's it makes me better. I know I'm going to rise up to that occasion. Like, that's why I wanted that fight, because it wasn't just me just moving up, which is going to be hard anyway, right? Then you probably had what everyone was saying, the stylistically worst matchup for me. Not only this guy was bigger, now I'm getting a guy that's absolutely dominates in that position and he's bigger. You get what I mean? So it's like a bad choice for you to move up, take on someone bigger, and his game be totally using sort of his size, strength, and that's what his game's based on, right? But I mean, I loved it. I was like, everyone was doubting me and all that, and I was one thing. It was annoying at stages where people, like, I would have people, the media, like, they'll hit me up and be like, why are you doing this? And trying to talk me out of it, and I'm just like, I was getting obviously annoyed. I'm just sitting there going, fucking, like. Here you, everyone in the world, you seem like, the quotes and the memes and all that talking about, the quotes are saying like, challenge yourself and, be comfortable being uncomfortable. Yeah. I just wanted to sit there and go, you're all full of fucking shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Every time someone does it, you want to sit there and go, why the fuck you doing it? Because I want to challenge myself.
Yeah.
I want to make myself better, and I know it will. And it did. It definitely, I did obviously rise to the occasion. It made me better, made me stronger. And again, I'll get that fucking win back. And then, it's going to add to that story.
But you need it in Australia.
Yeah,
you tell those motherfuckers that's a stipulation of the fight, because I know how bad you wanted that shit at home, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
You had all the Aussies in the fucking crowd.
Or I beat him wherever, and then if the trilogy has to happen, I do that in Australia. And there
you go. Oh, yeah, because you don't get to make the stipulations after you...
What's that, sorry?
You don't get to make the stipulations
after. Oh, I mean, like, I don't know if he's going to even take the fight now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's trying to run away from the fight, but find me in Australia again, I don't think he would want that.
Because I had a question about that. Does he, or is there like, does that like fighter's honor exist in him where he's like, nah, fuck that. Like, I want to actually win the fight. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like, or is he going to run, or is he going to come back and actually try and get it? You know what I'm
depends
saying?
Depends like, on really the finish it. Depends on the person.
I think he's probably going to want you to come to Kazakhstan. Where's he from?
What, like in, I think I fucked Abu Dhabi, as it was mentioned.
Where's he
maybe?
From?
We need to know where he's from right now.
He's a Dagestan.
Excuse me, Dagestan.
Yeah, Dagestan. Like, I don't know if they'll have an event there, but I mean, that's why they always go to Abu Dhabi. They always fight there as well.
Yeah, so no Dagestan.
So that's sort of, and I'm pretty sure they have an event there almost every year. And they need your, like, Islam and a couple of the guys that
to drive
cars, I think. Yeah.
You said something I think is important about, the cliche quotes, get comfortable being uncomfortable, challenge yourself. And then whenever anyone does it, the media is like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? Why are you doing that? Like, when you go outside of traditional norms and you really try to push yourself and break boundaries, it shocks people. When I took on the Floyd fight, I had a journalist that looked me in the eyes and I could tell he was sincere in what he was saying. He couldn't understand why I was doing this. He goes, statistically, he's never lost. Do you really think you can beat him? I was like, yeah, yes, dude. That's why I'm here. He goes, yeah, but looking at his record, like, he's 50-0, the statistics. And I go, dude, if I let statistics rule the decisions that I made in my life, I would be nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's outliers like you who do challenge the statistics and the traditional norms who end up doing great things in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you, Volk. Yeah. And I know you're going to get that shit back.
Fuck yeah. And that's with what you're saying. That's with everything, with being successful in anything in life, right? Like, there's going to be challenges in whatever you do. You know, you're going to have to sometimes, challenge yourself, push them boundaries. And that's how you figure shit out. That's how that's how you evolve, whether it's a company or whatever it is. Like, you're going to have to, branch out and do what you've got to do. But yeah, again, it was like annoying me. I was at one stage, I think it was fight week, and I was like literally going to go to the press conference and just be like.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right.
The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
He's all full of fucking shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, because everyone was literally trying to say, like, oh, you're mad. Like, and I'm going, fuck. Like, that didn't make sense to me. It's like, why wouldn't I do this?
Well, it doesn't make sense to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it's just, again, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, like, I talk about having my moment in Australia, which, again, it's, how much better would this fucking conversation be if I could just say, yeah,
nah,
I did have
nah,
that moment.
Nah,
I just mean like, yeah, I know, but you know, then I could actually be like, yeah, I had my fucking moment. But so that was the whole point. Go over there, the unthinkable, like it would have been like the way people carrying on, the greatest feat the world's ever seen, like, you know, the way people were carrying on. And again, that was an opportunity to really, you know, raise some eyebrows and really be like, fucking hell, that's big. You know, that's real big. Being double champ and doing it that way. And, you know, so it was something that, again, I looked at and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is what I want. So when I wanted the belt, yeah, 2 belts either shoulder, fucking looks good. But when it was Islam and then the challenge, I knew it was a challenge. I knew I'm going to have to step it up. That excited me more. It wasn't about that second belt anymore. It was about proving everyone wrong and showing that, like, fucking anything is possible. I'll fucking show you. Mm. Even this little fucking here, I'm going to show you. I'll fucking go there and I'll do it. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, again, we thought we fucking did it, but what do you do?
You have a lot of downtime in camps. You're working hard in camps, but, you know, you have time to chill. You ever watch Netflix?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you watched Chimp Empire on Netflix?
I haven't, actually. I was just talking to Izzy about it. Izzy was a...
Flip it, Kev. It's upside down. Flip it.
Yeah. He was telling me, I haven't watched it. I'm going to start watching it.
Okay, so I mean, Chimp Empire, it's unbelievable. I experienced every emotion watching these chimpanzees run around in go-go.
Every emotion?
Well, I didn't experience...
I
wasn't turned on. I think God gave up making chimp buttholes. I'll just say it. I'll just say it right there. Like, he made these things, and when he got to the ass, he was like, I don't have time.
What, they don't have them?
Just Google it. It'll haunt you. Here's where I'm going with this. No, because I want to say something.
I want to know, yeah, though. Is that legit? Is there no buttholes?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
The way... I don't know why I brought it here, because I don't like butthole talk per se, but the anatomy of a chimp's rear end is one of the most grotesque things you'll ever see.
Really?
There's no way to put it. It looks like an alien's like mouth, maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't know why I brought it up. No.
Well, it's only funny because you've seen what aliens look like. He has the only video of aliens.
No, it's not true.
Did you?
It's a legend.
I have seen. So yeah, okay.
Here's what I'm going with this.
Yeah. See what happened right there.
Well, because I'm bought and sold by the government. Here's where I'm going with this. When I watched Chimp Empire with my girlfriend, the one thought that kept going through my mind is like, if a chimp attacked me, could I take on this chimp? The answer was always a resounding no. Do you think, if a chimp started coming after you, Alexander Volkanovsky, could you take it one-on-one?
No, I haven't watched Chimp Empire, but I know enough about chimpanzees to know you don't fuck with them.
Yeah, but could you do it?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm just trying to be real with it. I want to just be like, yeah, fuck, I'm taking on anyone. But I've got told about it. I remember hearing about chimpanzees. If a chimpanzee got out of a zoo, let's say a lion, they wouldn't be too fussy. But if a chimpanzee got out, That would be fucking very worried because they'll just go and they'll fuck up everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, like, they'll fuck up like 20 people, just rip limbs off straight
they
away.
They rip faces, they rip limbs.
Yeah, so I knew that. So I know I won't feed a chimp because I know I could rip my limbs literally off.
In your face. They go after the face. We had one in Connecticut where I'm from and it ripped the lady's
but
face.
But hey,
off her
I'm up for any fucking challenge. So, you know what I mean?
What you're fucking, about, dude.
How much does a chimp weigh?
No, yeah, that's what I'm going to ask. What about
Dana
the
wants to
class?
Bring a chimpanzee in, we can fucking make it happen.
How many kilograms do you weigh?
So I weigh in 65.8. So yo, what's that, 145?
A chimp, male adult, 60 kg.
Fucking, we can do it.
Oh, that's is that the same class? You is that same weight class?
Huh?
Yeah, that's same weight class. Nah, because like, I don't know. When I look at you, you feel like a dude that can take on anything. Adolescent big cats.
No, what about a roux?
Badgers.
What about a roux?
I mean, like, I could take on a roux, fucking if I could.
But have you seen like the... Which kind of, mate, I've seen
the big reds.
Yeah.
And, mate, like, you see them like this, they go like that. They've got proper biceps and they've got chest, like pecs.
I've seen them smoke. They smoke cigarettes and shit. Yeah. They look like they go to the bar, getting bar fight. Like, they're fucked
you
up.
You seem like they just stand the cash ass just like scratching themselves like this, but they're fucking staunch like this.
Are
monsters,
Australians
like 6 foot tall, the big reds.
Are Australians a different breed, including the roos? Like, what's going on in that country?
Yeah, can we stay on Australia for a second? Because that was the biggest W for me coming out of that fight.
It's definitely, we're definitely different, I reckon. Like, that's when you were talking about, like, rugby league players and, like, sport. Even AFL would be the same, but, like, rugby union, like, there's some, you know, it gets fucking pretty wild, you know what I mean? Like, it's Mad Mondays, we call them. Mad Mondays. That's after a season, when the season's done, you go out and, when you say different, do you mean as in everywhere, partying?
Let's go note by note because like I had these girls in Sydney and we were up, you know, late night one night at the Crown just hanging out talking and they told me about this epidemic of something called a king punch. Is that what it's called? Where people would run up and just hit someone in the back of the head and people were dying. It
was
like
the king, like, well, I remember that was, there was a
king
phase.
Hit?
King hit.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, king hit.
So like, I mean, it was a phase. I don't know if that was, that wasn't that around the world or was that in Australia?
No,
mainly?
No, I never even heard of
it. Yeah, so people like, just doing it for a laugh, like going out there and people.
Yeah, but,
don't
but they told
die.
Me they had to shut down all the clubs in Sydney for a while because it was happening so often. It was like a major problem.
We have shootings
here. You know what I'm saying? It's not, we don't have king hits.
Yeah. Now you're right. I do remember there was a bit of a phase where that was happening as well. It was pretty bad. Like a couple of Aussies drinking, there's usually a couple of fights. But people, I remember there was a phase that you're talking about where people were just doing that, just like, I don't know, it was like a trend at one stage.
Right.
So which was fucking, obviously.
When I was in middle school, the boys would go around giving each other neck, it's called. So not a king hit, but they would slap the back of your neck hard.
Sorry. You and your friends used to run around and give each other
don't
neck.
Don't make it a thing. It's not like that.
It's fine.
It's not like that.
It's fine.
I'm just saying, like, there was... fuck you, bro. Listen. There was also a time, gentlemen my age, 28 years old, may remember this, where these young men would run around the school and give each other what's called dead legs. They'd run up to you and just knee you in the side of the leg.
Real Charlie.
Yeah, and at the time it was like a fun thing, but I remember thinking like, this is probably assault. And now I realize that that's more true than ever. And I was small, so I often got bullied. Did you ever have a bully experience? Like where you had to stand up for yourself?
There was definitely a... I've always looked, man, I come pretty much out the womb looking like this. I fucking looked about 40 years old as a kid, like literally. So that's why I used to get into fights even when I was younger. You know, again, nothing I'm proud of, but it would happen. But because I looked probably a lot older, like even I was like this tall and everything. I just stopped growing when I was five, you know, or something. So literally, so I always looked older and things like that. So I always have
older
guys.
Is that why they were like, he looks older, let's get him?
Oh, like, yeah, it'll just be like, you know, your friends being silly, drunk and that, and then I look like I was one of the older guys and then they would want to come and just point me out or just sometimes. I swear I just always got pointed out. But so it would not end well for them usually.
But did you win those fights? Like what's your street fight record?
It's not too bad to be honest. I mean, it's not something I'm proud of though, right? But I mean, it's I was known for a bit for blueing back in the day. That's what we call blueing.
Yeah, what?
Blueing. Bluing.
What does it mean?
It means like bluing, punching on. I was known for punching on, bluing. Yeah.
And you didn't have to.
As in fighting, yeah.
You didn't have to rely on judge scores at that point. Like
yeah,
you were,
exactly. Although, come down to, usually
No, not King Hits. That wasn't King Hits, but you know, if you land one good one, usually that'll be enough.
I need to say this really quick. We started talking about Australia, and I brought up the most random thing. Like, fuck the King Hits, dude. Can we talk about this? like that was the worst thing. What a great country. I've raved about it on the show, on my show, like a dozen times since I went there. The food, the women, the beaches. And Gold Coast, the city life in Melbourne. I mean, I was in every city of your, you know, every main city of your beautiful country. What is your favorite thing about Australia? Like, what would you tell people who are watching this right now that never thought of Australia as a place they'd want to visit?
Man, what you said, like the beaches, everything. It's got everything there.
Everything.
I just love the, you know, a lot of countries got beaches, right? But what I love about, especially where I live, is like every kilometer or mile, you could say, is just like a new beach, a new beautiful beach with reefs and, you know, everyone surfing and things. I've always loved that. So I've always grew up near the beach and, you know, played rugby league. And so I don't know. I think it's just more that, like them beachy vibes. Again, a lot of countries have that. But, I mean, I think it's just sort of that. And maybe the people can be pretty friendly, pretty wild. So you get a bit of everything. I'm sure you would have met like some wild, you know, especially playing football. We're going to sort of touch on that a little bit. I was talking about the Mad Mondays, but I don't know how much information you want on that one. You know what I mean? So you want all of it. But like I said, you know,
I'm out of the Mondays, man.
Well, got the shoeies and all that as well, yeah, right? You know, like that's stuff that you want. Yeah, that people on TV can see that. There's a lot of stuff that you don't want on TV as well, right? It gets pretty wild at the Mad Mondays, we call them. That's what I was talking about when I said Mad Mondays. After a full footy season, you know, you finish up and then you just go nuts on like a, you know, 2-3 day bender, and it's wild.
Is that where Footy Volk comes?
We were told to ask about Footy Volk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, who told you that? Well, someone, Footy Volk. Well, that's what it is. So I start getting, you know, a couple of drinks. I get a bit rowdy. I was like, well, fucking Footy Volk's coming out. You know what I mean? So I'm obviously a pretty chill dude, you know what I mean?
Right.
Fair family man, chill dude, but get a couple of drinks, it's like, that's it. Fucking all down here.
I need to see that.
I was just thinking about us going out to the casino tonight. Me, you, Izzy, Volk. Volk starts having a couple shoeies, and all of a sudden he turns into Footy Volk.
I need to see that. We thought for a second it was Footy Volk.
Foody Volk. Like, Footy Volk. Footy Volk.
But it could be Footy Volk too.
Footy Volk, yeah. Yeah, like, I have a cooking channel and that. Yeah, I love my food.
Tomahawk steaks.
Tomahawk steaks, yeah, I love my steak. I love a grill. I love cooking on a grill. That's my thing.
I got a grill.
Yeah?
Are we supposed to be cooking tonight?
I think we are. What grill you got? You got coal? Like, you got a...
It's a good grill. It's
gas cooker. We're cooking over fire.
You're getting all complicated.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's gas.
Is everything in Australia trying to kill you?
Mate, there's a lot of things that will fuck you up. That's
sharks, roos, mate, spiders.
Mate, even shit, like, yeah, you get even some of the jellyfishes, octopuses, they're like some of the most, all the deadliest things in the world are living in the fucking Australia.
The women.
I'm telling you. Yeah, watch out for them too, you know?
but isn't it true, like, what? Like 95% of the country is still uninhabited, right? Like, the majority of the...
On the outskirts, yeah, for sure.
Like, the outskirts are all, no, like the coasts are inhabited, but yeah. as you move towards the center of the country, it's all, what, the great outback.
Yeah, the outback and that. Yeah, you're not wrong, especially because I do a bit of camping and hunting and things like that. So I go out back all the time. So yeah, you'll see shit that all like want to kill. Well, I haven't been up north where the crocodiles are. That's one thing that I'm actually fucking scared of.
Another thing.
So like snakes and all that, like I'll see deadly snakes that all like can kill you and that, like, you know, some of the deadliest snakes. I've seen plenty of those. I'll be all right around them, but a crocodile, because you can't see them, and like they'll sit in a fucking little pond that barely fits them in, like this deep of water, you wouldn't even know they're there, and you're just sitting there, like, you know, rinse your feet out. Go on.
I think we need to big stop. Soldiers. I think we need to stop this, because I think that people feel like this is a proper representation of all of Australia.
Exactly. I'm talking
like I see these people online and they're like, no, I'm never going there.
And here I am fucking going. Here I am just playing on with it.
We're just perpetuating it even further. It's not the case. There's
well, you're right. You're right. Like, it's obviously you can go to spots. Like, all right, don't go to fucking northern, go up north where the crocodiles are. I'm being serious. Don't go fucking there, because the crocodiles are salties and that. They're in the beaches there and that, and they will
fuck you up. But the snakes and that, yeah, there's a lot of deadly shit, but they're usually trying to avoid you.
I felt like the guy that I was grappling with today was kind of like a crocodile.
Yeah, he would alligator roll your fucking...
No, that guy was doing some funky shit.
That's that shit. Like, yeah, this, and he gets joy out of it. Gets joy out of just hurting people.
What a sicko. He was taking it easy on me. He hurt me.
It's just funny. You're in a position, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm all right. And next minute, you're like, can't breathe. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. You know?
Which,
like, what the fuck? I mean, I remember you got him like, what the fuck was that?
I had no idea how... I thought I was good. And all of a sudden, I can't breathe.
You're like, what the fuck just happened?
How when you can't breathe and you're in the middle of an octagon and there's 20 to 30,000 people watching, how do you push past that mentally? Like, for example, when Brian Ortega was choking you, like, what's going through your head? Is it just pure survival instinct?
Yeah. And because obviously tapping was just never an option.
Is that true?
Yeah, never an option. Like, I wasn't looking like, oh, no, I'll just... So there's layers to it. So let's get into the layers.
Let's get into it.
So I'm in the triangle. Mind you, I've been in these positions with guys like Craig, and I was getting them to get me in the deepest guillotines and like just so I can, you know, we call them late stage. So not in a position where you can start to get out. Like, you're already there. You're like, can't breathe already.
Yeah.
A few more seconds, you're going to sleep. So you have to address it straight away. Otherwise, you're going to sleep.
You got to address it.
Yeah. So yeah. So I put myself in these positions a lot, and no one got me as tight as fucking Brian did. Not even when I would let them. That's how fucking deep he got it. So credit to him. I was like, how the fuck did you do it that quickly as well? Couldn't believe how quickly he did it. So then we get there, and then I realize, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm in the choke. And then I'm like, all right, doing what I needed to do, pushing on his hips. He done a technique. I won't get into the technique, but he done things beautifully. So I was trying to, you know, change the mechanics of it to give him the oxygen, and it wasn't working. So I was doing what I needed to do, which most people probably wouldn't have even done that or knew to do that. I was doing that and it wasn't fucking working. And then I'm just like, well, I'm going to keep fucking trying, right? Like, so I just kept fucking trying. I was like sitting there thinking, and then the lights started dimming. So literally the lights were dimming and like, you know, it was like a movie, honestly. Yeah. It was like dimming, and I was even at one stage thinking like, there's no fucking way. You know what I mean? There's no way he's taking this belt away from my family. It was like that type of moment. I'm like, fuck that. So I just like keep going. So it was never an option. It was either his arms are going to gas out or I die. Like literally, that's where we were at that stage. So again, so imagine being in there. You're in a position. You're doing what you think you will work. It's not working. It's getting deeper and deeper. You're about to go out. And then I was just like going, well, I'm just going to keep doing what's not working anyway. Hopefully he fucking gasses out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like obviously it was just a problem solving sort of moment. That's just how I guess I am. Like, you know, in them situations, it was never any other options. Like, you know, what do I do next? Like, you know, just problem solving. But the thing is, the problem solving I was doing was still not working, but I was still going to just, all right, well, I'll just be stubborn with this shit and keep doing
I'll
it.
I'll be stubborn. I think that's what he called you afterwards, dude.
Yeah. Stubborn little bastard or something like that, which is how it was, man. And then it was there, and I was like, oh, and then I just felt him getting that little bit weaker. He obviously started gassing. So, and then the lights started coming back and then we got out. And then I just remember straight away, yeah, most people be like, oh, fuck, give me a second. I'm like, I'm going to get up and punch you in the fucking head.
That's what I love about your style.
So I was already before I was even out of it. So the lights were still coming back to me. And then I'm already thinking, he's gassing. Because I could feel, obviously, he was gassing. I started getting the oxygen back. And then I'm like, oh, he's gassing. Fucking get on top of him and fucking punch his head through the canvas.
I think that's what separates you from a lot of fighters is that when you would think that you're compromised, you go harder.
Yeah.
And it sort of dissuades people, I think, from trying to hit you, right? Because if they hit you with one punch, if they hit you with three punches, you're going to hit them with five. And they're all going to be fucking rock solid.
So what I was saying with that exact, so I just explained that to you. Mm. That's, if I had to describe like who I was and like why I am, that's what I mean. Like that there. But that's the same guy that turns up in the gym every day as well, right? So that's a guy that will, you know, in the gym and just never give up, you know, in some of the workouts that we do. And I'm always going to, you know, keep going. I get guys that are twice the size of me. And obviously some of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world putting in positions, and I'll work there. Like, you know, I'm, you know, again, be comfortable and uncomfortable. Where a lot of people say they do that. I was explaining who was I talking to? I forget who I was talking to. And I was, say if you bring a jiu-jitsu practitioner That's a very good. A lot of people were like, oh, yeah, I'll work with him because this guy I'm fighting is a really good jiu-jitsu guy. But they were trying to avoid the problem in a sense where I'm going to keep it standing and jab him at long range. And so now I'm not really taking advantage of that guy's jiu-jitsu, where I will go to this guy that's going to fuck me up even if I try, but I'm going to, yeah, all right, I want you to get me in the deepest guillotine you can. I'm going to try and get the fuck out. You know what I mean? So I'll put myself where they're strong. And then, because again, at the end of the day, the problem is the guy I'm fighting, right, in the octagon. So if I put myself in these shitty positions now, you know, that's really problem solving, because I'm going to solve that problem in the octagon. Not problem solved now. I can avoid getting tapped out right now, but I'm avoiding the real problem, if that makes sense.
You got,
does
you
that,
got
does
it.
That
you
make
got
sense?
Put yourself through hell in the
yeah,
in
exactly
the
right. So there's going to be, all right, this guy's really good here. Mm. All right, I just won't even let him get me there. You know, this guy, I won't let him get me there, but I'm avoiding the problem. What if he does get me there?
Yeah.
We're going to fucking work there. Sure. It's going to be fucking shit. I'm going to be struggling to breathe fucking for the whole session, but it's all good. Like, you know, so I'll always do that. I've always done that. No matter where I am, I could be on the bottom with guys twice the size of me. I'm going to fight till that round's over to get the fuck up. And that's just how I've always been. Maybe even when I played rugby league and that. And again, that's a guy that turns up in the gym. And over time, because I'm not some special athlete. You know, a lot of people probably say I'm an athlete. I don't think you would say that. I feel like it's through that sort of a mindset that I have, a mentality and all that. It's grown me into who I am now.
That is special.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's
yeah,
the
so
special part,
yeah,
right?
So you'll see guys that are way more explosive than me, and you know, a lot of people think I'm reasonably explosive, but I feel like that was through hard work to get me there, through pushing myself and pushing the boundaries, and you know, pushing them limits, challenging myself to make me who I am today. Because I wasn't born. You know, some people are going to be born with some, you know, flashy shit, and you know, they're going to be good there. I don't think I was. I think it was that mindset, mentality, and you know, that hard work, and just being a stubborn. Excuse my French. being stubborn, all that, and it ended up getting me. Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, sure. I said it four times.
Yeah,
earlier.
I said the C
no,
word.
I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, yeah. Good.
Wait. So what situation?
That's what I love about Australia. There's another thing I love Australia. You can say that word a lot. And it's honestly, you probably heard about it, right?
Of course.
So you, like, if
oh,
you,
I know the whole rating system. Okay. I know all about it. I know. Okay.
Who's the man?
Good or sick? Sick and good are probably the highest, right?
Sick. So like a sick. Right?
Yep.
So in Australia, I wouldn't mind. I'd be like, yeah, sick. Yep. Here I'm like, oh no way, you know, people might.
It's probably getting like bleeped on this. It's one time on YouTube and the whole episode's demonetized.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
yeah.
So we'll figure it out.
You
but
know what we're saying anyway. So sick is like, he's the man. You know what I mean? Like that's, he's like, yeah.
Or is it sick?
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
No,
can
but,
be that for, too.
But we, because that's.
I mean, if someone goes, oh, yeah, he's a sick, you're going to be like, oh, he must be a good dude, man.
And
there's two negatives, right? Like it's pretty.
And then good. Right after, like, good was cool, and then I know the worst as well. The worst thing, the one thing you don't want to be, is a dog. Really bad,
yeah.
Right? What is it?
Putrid.
You guys use that type of word? That's crazy.
Putrid,
I studied. Dude, listen, I'm not messing around. I go to a lot of places and I try to pick up little things on the culture and how they act and what they do. I was dialed in for Aussie, dude. I wanted to make sure I was really locked in because I had the partnership with Culture Kings and I was doing this thing and that thing, and I really wanted to get it right. So I was studying it. And I even tried to get it out on the YouTube video and it got demonetized.
All right, yeah.
They're like, you can't use that.
It's if you're not in Australia, it's a tough word to just float by.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like just, especially in football, rugby league and that.
Yeah,
that, you know.
Come on.
Where he uses it. Yeah. So he's like American, like, yeah, obviously my wrestling coach, I don't know if you know Frank Hinkman, but yeah, he'll come in, he'll say it, and like he tries to take it all back, you know, back home in America, and they're like,
it doesn't work.
We had to
ask too, like, we're like, hey, are we allowed to call it girls that? And they're like, no, don't call it girls that.
It's between the boys.
Yeah. But I got the full training session. I did Michaela Testa made me Vegemite toast. Put way too much on.
Okay, see.
So they fucked up. I had a bad experience. And then last week, a proper Aussie came over to the U.S. and he made me a real thin one to a layer
butter,
where it was a butter to a layer that was almost you couldn't even see the Vegemite on it. It was just a tiny little layer. Delicious.
Wow, see? Really?
Thank
delicious.
You.
Oh. It changed the entire experience. So I had the Vegemite. I had the Tim Tams, and I hit up your number one national landmark, basically the president of Australia, Angela White, and she told me that I need to do a Tim Tam slam. And I did that. And dude, like, you guys got a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah. There.
It's just a cool ass place. And I really want to go back. And I love Ool, the airport at Gold Coast. I just love it.
It's funny. You said before, like, you know, we'll sit there and like with the animals and all, everything's going to fuck you up. Right. Like, you know, we play along with it. Same with the Vegemite. Fucking every time I see it on TV, I want people to understand, like, it's fucking actually good, but they'll go there and they'll just cake the Vegemite on. They cake it on. Like, I can't eat. Like, I love Vegemite. Like, there's no way I'll do that. But I sit there and like, so again, like, it's everyone's just sort of playing the, you know, like that. But like, obviously Australia's great. I love it. It's good. Yeah. But I mean, there is a lot of dangerous stuff. As I said, don't go up north.
Including you.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, like, you'll be all right. You can walk through the bushes. You ain't going to die every time.
And once again.
1 out of 10, maybe. Not every time.
I'll take those odds.
And the women. Just one more time. They are, I think their mentality is in line with an American man. So like their sexual desires and prowess are about in line with an American man. Like, they have no problem just like being like, you want to go to the bathroom? Like, easy, yeah. Easy, bro.
It's like, because they're pretty chill like that as well. Like, you know, how the Aussies can be, you know, you go out drinking with them and they're like, oh, they're pretty, you know, they're going to be pretty full on all around the world. I'm sure everyone's had an Aussie experience with
sure.
Yeah, loud Aussies get coming in and, yeah, like footy bulk too, right? But but that's what I mean. That's it. But then even the girls can get a bit like that. You know, they're pretty lucky. They'll have a couple of drinks and then they're like firing up as well. And whether that's how a lot of girls are in a lot of countries, I don't know. Now all the Aussie girls are going to be like, you're fucking making us look bad. No, it's a good thing.
It's part of the reason, you know, Mike liked the country.
It's part of it. So much, part
you know? Of it. The easier, the better for Mikey.
So what was in Australia? What was it? Was it the women? The hot burgers, you were talking about
the food. He loved the food. The food in general. And the people are just really cool there.
It's great.
Just a really cool place.
Did you end up doing a shoey? Did you do it? You did a shoey of a prime, didn't you?
It was so.
Who shoeyed you?
Bam Bam told me, he said, listen, I'll do your prime shoey, but let's be honest, like, it's a new shoe and it's prime, not alcohol. So, like, we didn't really do a shoey.
Okay,
isn't it supposed to be with like a disgusting, putrid, like, boot with beer in it?
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, in Australia, a lot of times when you're on the piss, you know, footy Volk or footy, the boys at footy rugby, Mad Monday, everyone wants to top each other. So it's going to get like, you know, start off with a shoey, nice clean one, then someone's looking for the most dirtiest one. Then they're spitting in it. Then they're getting other people to spit in it.
Well, I did a really.
Mate,
I
like, oh, mate, oh, you know,
someone's jerking in it. Yeah, mate, like, yo, it's got to be lying, like, guys.
I've seen a fucking lot. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, yeah, no. Pissing in it, like, drink, like, oh, fucking hell, like, have you would have heard of the bubbler?
I don't know that I want to hear of it, but you're bubbler. About to tell me.
So, what do you call water fountains here? Water fountains,
yeah,
know,
water fountains.
Water fountain. So, like, you sit there and the water comes up, you drink it.
Yeah.
We call them bubblers.
Okay. Okay.
So, when someone's doing the bubbler, it's them pissing in their own mouth. So, a bit bubbler, right? Water fountain coming up.
I got a friend who does this.
I haven't done this, by the way.
Yeah.
I talk about it, and everyone's like, oh, he's done it for sure. I haven't done it.
Shout out Steven from Jeff FM.
Maybe footy ball, but no, I'm joking.
Yep. He does it. Steven does the bubbler. Learned it from his dad. You just sit there with a, you know, flaccid penis and you just kind of.
Mate,
shoot it up.
There's been like celebrities getting done doing it. Like, I'm filming that. There's celebrities in Australia, like, in Australia, just sitting there doing bubblers and that.
Seen any of that. I mean, you know.
It's probably a good thing that you haven't. Like,
I did want a milk.
Thinking about giving it a shot.
I did want a milk, a shoey of milk at Culture.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of not really cool, right? Like, it's kind of gross.
That shoe would have been like, I don't know.
It was an old Travis Scott shoe that I'd worn for ages. It even had the like the nasty insoles in it.
That's cool.
And I pulled up to the store and I did the
come out
Tam
brown
slam.
Like, while you're drinking it a little.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty gross. Yeah. I don't know if that counts or makes you hate me.
Listen,
but
I think there's a lot of probably young UFC fighters who are listening to this episode. They listen to the Izzy episode. They're taking notes. And I think the biggest note for success that anyone could take, but especially fighters and anyone in any sort of physical occupation, is the consistency. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep mentioning, like, the guy that shows up to the gym every day on time, keeps working his ass off. Like, you'd be surprised how far you can go in life if you just are relentless and you show up for yourself repeatedly. the tap or sleep mentality that you described earlier, is that submission dependent? Like, not that you ever would, because I just don't see this happening, but if you were in like an arm bar, does the arm go before you tap? Or do you
like
need
in a fight?
Yeah, an actual fight.
I'm letting it. I'm going to let it snap. Yeah, so like
someday in the future, dude, you're going to be watching and we're just going to be like, he's not going to tap.
Like,
I mean,
I just don't think it's going to be armbar. Yeah, I just don't see him getting caught
getting in an armbar anytime soon, like getting armbarred.
Well, I'd like I get it. Well, Yair Rodriguez, he actually, he's not bad off his backs, and he'll throw up submissions, armbars, and I think his last one was a triangle, but he'll definitely be throwing them up. So I'm putting myself again. I've got that guy that was, as you were saying, was just that he's like magic on the ground. I got him putting me in these deadly positions. But you're right, man. It is all about consistency and things like that. So was that where you were going with it?
So I'll be honest with you. What happened there was I started saying something, realized I wasn't sure where I was going, and then completely pivoted into a different topic.
Okay.
And that's what happened. Because Izzy was feeding me whiskey. Nah, you weren't. It was
I don't even
there
exist right now.
I drank it.
Question everything, bro.
I wanted to ask, we were talking about this today. Speaking of the armbar submission is like, so I've been watching UFC for a very long time, which is why like meeting you guys and the partnership with Prime UFC was, this whole thing is surreal to me and incredibly exciting. But I feel like certain submissions we just don't see as much anymore. Like the guillotine in particular, armbars anymore that much. Like, has MMA evolved in a way where people are just getting too good to be caught in these, I don't want to call it rudimentary, but
yeah, look, I think so. Like at the highest level, it can still definitely happen. Like, yeah, you're still going to see it here and there. But when you start getting, especially most of the people in the UFC, that's the thing with MMA. You make a UFC, you are the top guys, right? You're not going to really see too many of them. You won't see these freakish ones that you might see in the regional scene. These freakish submissions, but I think there's a the defense, I think people probably won't put themselves out of position as much. Mm. You're going to get some fighters that, you jump on a guillotine, like that means you are sort of like you're accepting being taken down in a sense as well. You fall onto your back. So some people will go to it where I think now people are, want to focus on the takedown defense and all that. They don't want that to be their go-to straight away, which is always, I think that's how it is. So most people aren't really looking to do that because they can get themselves on the back. If you don't get the guillotine, you're on your back and your head punched through the canvas. And that's how people look at it. So I don't feel like at the highest level you'll see people sacrifice themselves to go for it, which some will, as Ortega would. Yair probably would. If he's going down, he's going to try and throw something up. As there's only a few fighters that will do it, and then the defense getting better. That's why you're not seeing it as much.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And, I mean, especially a guy like you, I'm not saying you don't have a neck, but I just don't see much of a neck. Like, you feel like a tough guy to choke out. Like, I tried today. I couldn't really get on.
That sounded like you were talking shit, kind of.
No, I said, got no neck.
That was kind of like,
No, I actually said it to him, but he's like, get there. He's like,
I couldn't find it, dude.
That's why I was sitting there, God, I don't have a neck. You'll probably struggle with
me. Are you gonna beat this motherfucker or what?
Yeah, of course, mate.
Because I've got to drop some money on it.
I'm always a safe bet.
Okay.
Always a safe bet. That's what we're going to go back to my mindset and mentality, like how I look at it. See, for me, I'm going to prepare as if, this is the biggest challenge of my life. I'm going to turn up, do what needs to be done, but I still expect to go out there and kick fucking ass. You know what I mean? So people say you're looking forward. I'm planning on fucking going champ and having that rematch with Islam. So people can be like, oh, he's looking past you. No, I know he's dangerous. I just know what I'm capable of. So I'm planning on obviously running through him and moving on.
Where's the fight?
As in Vegas, International Fight Week, July
8th. Oh,
July
8th. That's a fucking crazy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to go to that. Dana.
You beat, you
closer
you,
to the cage.
When you have a dream, you beat Yair, you're going to beat Islam. You beat all these people. That's right. This is the hypothetical reality that I'm living in. You did it in the sport. What are you going to do after MMA?
After MMA, cooking. Chef Volk,
I love this.
Cooking with Volk, baby. You know what I mean?
The spectrum, the spectrum is like here, and then the cooking, let's bro, go, is dude. Just so
just the exact opposite. He's gonna cook,
just
man.
Go cook. Yeah. As I said, like, I don't mind cooking. I love cooking. I ain't like I'm some, you know, crazy chef or anything. I'm not that good at it, but I love it. I get to, you know, travel the world and eat with cool chefs and stuff like that. So I love that. Like, I love that idea. So it's, you never know. But I don't know if I could do the coaching thing in that, to be honest.
That's what I was wondering.
Like, it's a commitment. So yeah, everything sure. I'm going to do, I'm going to want to fully commit to. And, you know, I don't know. Like, you see some of these coaches that have to just run around, like, you know, sacrifice a lot of time away from their families and things like that, just – you know, for their athletes. I just don't know if I could commit to that. So
I think a lot of athletes do it post their athletic prime because it's what they know.
Yeah.
You know, but if you can do other things, if you can.
Exactly right. Fucking full back on some that, you know.
Yeah, go for it. Like, not, you know, cooking's not for everyone. Cooking's, I guess I found it not for me. And I find this incredibly hypocritical of Mike, but I cooked a burger for him because he opened a burger restaurant called 1010 Burger in Saudi. And I wanted him to try my like homemade burger that I made with my girlfriend. It's called Love at First Bite. I mean, this
Love at First Bite.
Love at First Bite. This thing's great, Volk. It is a delicious double cheeseburger smash patty, diced onions, nice soft bun. Like, I worked really months perfecting this burger.
It sounds good, but it looks like he's got something.
Well,
to
here's
say.
Well. No. Mike thinks he's got some sort of connectedness to the kings of the burger world, and he called my burger like a Burger King burger and rated it a 7.6 out of 10.
It's a great rating. It's a good burger.
It's not. And here's the problem. Cooking isn't for everyone, because it's a great burger. I can cook a goddamn good burger. He can't even cook a burger.
I don't cook.
To save his life.
Let me ask you a question really quick.
Yeah, he has the audacity.
Well, let me ask you a question.
To tell me I have a 7.6.
Let me ask you a question. How great is Prime? Really, really. I mean it. Like, rate it.
Me?
Yeah.
I gotta say, it's 1010 Prime.
Could you make Prime?
If you gave me 30 minutes, I could make you some Prime.
You can't. You can't fucking make Prime.
I could get you some Prime.
The ability to create something does not directly correlate to your ability to judge and rate something. Okay? It just doesn't. I've eaten hundreds of burgers from some of the greatest burger curators in the fast casual space between Greece, Australia, Mykonos, everywhere on the planet, Dubai, Los Angeles, Miami. How dare you? How dare you question my authority on said topic? I gave you a chance, you underperformed, and that is the verdict that you now have to live with. Not me, son, you. And of course, your girlfriend.
Whatever, you have hemorrhoids.
It's just your go-to now, is it?
Got
I'm gonna try this like burger though now.
Hey, listen,
I would love to make you one.
It's a good burger. It's a good burger.
We did.
Seven, I mean, to be honest, I'm gonna 7 out. What was that?
7.6.
You're not. That's pretty
it's
good.
At least a 9.2.
He reckons he's traveled the world.
Brother,
he reckons he's a burger connoisseur.
Brother,
you know.
Quickly, he
I
told
mean, that's,
me this.
That's pretty good, right?
He told me this. He said it's at least a 9.2. I said to him, I said, the last 9.2 I had was a man who had quite literally studied the craft of burgers. He had gotten his buns, he curated them, and bought them from a local bakery that day. He went to a local farm and got his exact blend of beef from that farm, a Wagyu blend. He then and actually went, he made his own pickles. He made his pickles. So how the fuck do you expect, when some of your elements are microwaved in your house in Puerto Rico,
and not microwaved,
that the fucking bun was microwaved.
It was warmed up in the microwave,
aka microwave.
It's a quick way of doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I sometimes do a little zap in the microwave for things. You know what I mean?
Imagine you went to Gibson.
I won't put it on camera. Me doing that though.
Imagine you went to Gibson Steakhouse in Chicago.
We messed up. Yeah. I nuked it. And who says that, by the way? why did my dad say that growing up? Just put it in the microwave, nuke it.
Nuke it. Yeah. Nuke yeah, when I say zap, I was like, oh, that's
zap
the word
it.
I was looking
I'm
for.
I'm gonna start doing that now.
No, I was looking for that. I was looking for nuke, actually. That was the word I was looking for. Was like, zap come to my mind.
I mean, okay, so but are we gonna cook tonight?
We're gonna cook tonight.
All right. We should do that, I think.
Hey?
We should go cook.
Yeah.
Cause it's
getting late.
Yeah, it is getting late. I don't wanna fuck up your camp. Mm-hmm. Also, Jake invited us to dinner if we want to go. Let's play it by ear, but let's go. Let's go cook, Volk.
Let's do it.
Is there anything? Is there anything I missed? Like we're obviously extremely excited for your fight, July 8th, in Vegas. I won't be able to make it. He might be able to make it, but
I'd love to go to that fight.
Get that W, bro.
That's it.
We're riding for you, brother.
I appreciate it. Dude. So wait, this burger, I'm not burger, sorry. This cooking with Volk segment, it's gonna be up for you guys as well. So make sure you tune into that.
Sharp. Oh, and me, and my girl. Well, Nina, she's Prime's official mixologist. She can make a mean cocktail mm-hmm. with Prime, so I think she's gonna chef a little something up.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, we're collabing.
There we go. Sounds good.
Yeah. Dude, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No worries,
brother.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Alexander Volkanovski, UFC featherweight champion. Watch this fight July 8th. Follow him on all the social medias. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.